Kate O'Reilly.
And I'm Dana Myos.
And you're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff. This week, we're going to talk about everything that happened. We're going to do some catch-ups, and you may have noticed we have a special co-host. Yeah!
Yay!
The crowd goes wild. Woo. Dana Myos, one of my oldest, dearest friends, is here with us today. Jen is under the weather. She has strep throat and hasn't slept all week and is getting better today.
She's in a death chamber today, according to Facebook. I hope she comes out.
And Louie is her caretaker, her dog. So Dana is a fan of the show and also someone I know really well. So we thought it would be a great co-host. So welcome, Dana.
Thank you.
We have been friends for years and years and years, more than we would like to admit. Wait, that doesn't sound right. More than we like to admit based on how old we are.
Yes.
And she was my college roommate. And beyond college, a little bit, we have done, I think, everything we could do together besides be lovers. We were never lovers.
There's still time.
There's still time. Well, at 45, we'll see where we are. Mm-hmm. So she is a hot, tall glass of water, in my opinion. She is single as well. Something we'll probably talk about again in a future show. You have definitely heard us reference her on past shows. And especially in the realms of probably dating, possibly athleticism, because you're such a big athlete and like a person that I strive to be more like that in that realm. So, so we're just glad to have her here. Today, we're going to talk about her. She just is finishing today a 14-day detox. So we're going to talk about that and the effects and how it's went. We're going to talk about Wimbledon. And because Dana's a huge tennis player and a big fan of watching and makes it a priority every year. And I love to watch, too. We are both thinking about buying a new car soon. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to do Tweets of the Week, everybody's favorite. So let's catch up. So we just got back from a hike in the city. We've been starting a new tradition. So I asked Dana, normally we'd like go to brunch or something, but I'm really trying hard to like get my body in gear. Finally, after years and years and years of abusing food and finally solving those problems, for the most part,
yeah,
which is
me too.
Not a big, like, not a small thing, not a small thing at all. Really like starting to own my body and what I've put into it and really realizing that I don't want to put like crap into my body anymore and seeing immediate effects when I don't put crap in.
And then when like, you do. The negative effects when you do.
Yes. And like the bloat when you get, you know, eat too much sugar, too many carbs. And you see it. We were talking earlier about seeing it in your waist and your face immediately.
Yeah. Getting puffy and swollen.
Yeah. So we've been trying to, although we do go have brunch afterwards sometimes, we've been trying to not just have brunch, but I've always had an interest in hiking, but sort of had a big barrier in like getting there and then like feeling safe. And I have like a very low confidence when it comes to physical activity. And that is completely normal with someone who hasn't engaged their body or was sort of outside of it for a long time.
Yeah. And I've never been a hiker. Like for as active as I am, I work out all the time, play tennis and volleyball and golf and love sports and being active. Hiking's never been something I've ever done. And I've always been interested. I'm like, I don't even really understand what is hiking and have been so intimidated.
Isn't that funny?
Like been so intimidated by it. Like, oh, people go hiking. I want to be one of those people. What is that? And so,
yeah,
it's just perfect timing.
Right. It's just like, it's just hiking is just walking. There's like a funny meme going on. Right.
You know?
So we went to a local park that happens to be just outside the Minneapolis downtown city limits. And so you can hear like the rush of the freeway that goes into the city. And then you can see the city from some parts of the hike we learned today. And there's also, it has one of the biggest or one of the most integrated mountain bike trails. So there's also cyclists going in and by, so you kind of have to be hyper aware. But we went a couple weeks ago and then today and went on a completely different route, like hour long route than we did the other day, which I thought, how do they do that?
Yeah. None of the same trails. It was fantastic.
So that was awesome. So we we were talking on the hike about the food stuff, and that, you know, Dana, I said, well, do you want me to make some eggs when we get back? And she's like, well, I'm off eggs right now. So we talked a little bit more about the detox. So you've been on it for 14 days. Today's day 14.
Yep.
So what started it, and how did you get on this path?
Yeah,
I'll hear about it.
Well, I work out at Lifetime, and I play tennis at Lifetime too, but and I've been working with a trainer that is also my cousin's wife one of my good friends. And it's a Lifetime kind of program, this 14-day detox program that they have. And it's just all about like detoxifying your liver, your kidney, all your organs, getting all the toxins out of your body. And I've certainly, you know, like you were saying, have kind of been on this journey it's probably been 4 or 5 years now of just slowly changing what I eat and making exercise a priority and just really learning the importance of the effects that what I put in my body has on how I feel, how I look, all of that stuff.
And then every time you add something, I've noticed that you like kind of level up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, well, if I can do that, I can probably do this, or I want to like push myself to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it was like a year and a half ago, I actually took a food sensitivity test through Lifetime.
I remember you're doing that.
Yeah. And they draw blood and they measure it against 98 different foods. And it comes back and there's different ratings, like ones, twos, threes. And it's basically like your level of sensitivity, your allergy to it, whatever you want to call it. And they kind of at that time recommend like, okay, threes are really bad and you should eliminate them for 6 months. Twos are, you know, bad, but not quite as bad. Eliminate those for 3 months. Ones, you can rotate them like every 2 to 3 days. So if bananas were on there, I could have a banana on Monday, and then say black pepper was on there, then I could have black pepper on like Wednesday or Thursday. And so I was really freaked out when I first got the results, because it was like,
I bet.
I mean, I was like, I'm not going to be able to eat. This is, you know, I'm like chicken, turkey. I mean, things that you would think, how could I be allergic or sensitive to it?
I eat that all the time.
Yeah. Well, then after meeting with a nutritionist, a dietitian and stuff, learning that, you know, some of the foods you're not necessarily allergic to. It's just that I had been eating them all the time and my body started to sort of, I guess, reject them, I guess.
Right. And now we know that about allergies. Like we see like hairdressers after 40 years or 30 years in the industry has to stop dyeing hair.
Yeah.
Because they've built up, like their body is no longer able to resist that sensitivity.
Yeah. Like it can't process it, or, you know, obviously I'm not a nutritionist, so I don't understand it completely, but
do not take this advice under the care of your nutritionist.
Yes. Yes. But so I did immediately started eliminating these foods. Some of the things that were on there, like brewer's yeast and baker's yeast, which I was like, I don't even know what that means. Like, what is it all in? Like, you know, obviously. So I'm like, that means no alcohol, like brewer's yeast, like, So anyway, I started eliminating foods. And then as I would slowly kind of reintroduce some of them, I could actually feel the effects of it. And I think that for so long, I had just been feeling this way and thought it was normal when I would eat stuff. Like, not that I would even get sick, and I by no means had like irritable bowel syndrome or anything like that, but just feeling just so
rot.
Yes. And swollen and puffy, and just a lot of it, I would get super stuffed up. And so as I kind of would reintroduce some of the foods, a lot of them, I felt fine. And then there'd be some where I'm like, oh, you know what? Red wine, as soon as I have like 3 sips, I start to feel like I have a cold. I get really stuffed up. I'm like,
not just food, but also drinks.
Well, which was part of the brewer's yeast.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And so, I'm like, yeah, certain beers I feel that way with. So I mean, you know, I've kind of changed my, if I'm going to have wine, I usually have white now, and I drink more ciders. And, but anyway, as I reintroduced foods that were on that list that I didn't react to, you know, I would keep them in my diet. Like, you know, I still eat chicken. And then I probably went like 6 months, and then I took the test again, and there were a ton of new different foods. Some had fallen off, but there were a handful that were on there that I'm like, yeah, like cow's milk Well, I already knew that I was lactose intolerant. And so I'm like, those food items that were on there again, I'm like, okay, those are the ones that I really have noticed that I've reacted to. Mm-hmm. But like the second time, you know, Brussels or cabbage came on there. I'm like, well, mm-hmm. I eat Brussels sprouts almost every morning with my eggs. So of course it's on there, you know, and mm-hmm. like I've been eating way too many.
So it really supports like eating a variety of foods too.
Yep. And I mean, for me, that's like the biggest thing I've gotten out of it is the importance of rotating my foods and not just eating chicken because, oh, it's a lean white protein, you know,
right.
It's like, no, actually get some good grass-fed beef and eat that too. And, mm-hmm. you know, turkey and whitefish and...
Right.
And even just my vegetables, because I do get stuck in a rut. You know, like everyone makes fun of me about my carrot obsession and I have carrots in my purse all the time. And just after the first time I took it, carrots were on there. I'm like, well, of course they are because...
Right. You know, I like the idea of, though, doing it like sick that far apart.
Yeah.
To get like mm-hmm. two kind of baselines.
Yeah.
And also having it come back with results that like, we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So I've been doing that. And so for the last like year and a half, I've been eating really pretty healthy. You know, I mean, I still splurge once in a while, but really eat a lot. I try to eat vegetable at every meal and, you know, lean proteins, all that kind of stuff. But this detox, I'm like, I feel like, especially with the timing of having a couple of trips where there was a lot of weekends of drinking and,
yeah.
you know, not eating as healthy and, you know, right. with our birthday trips and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just feel like I need an overall detox, like my organs, everything, you know, I'm like, I drink alcohol, I drink a ton of coffee. And so I'd been wanting to do this detox for a while and I'm like, okay, this will be perfect timing after all these trips and our annual girls weekend. And
yeah.
So I started and the food part for me was not hard at all. Cause you know, even one of my coworkers was like, you're eating what you would normally eat at lunch. I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's not, you know, it's all like whole foods and vegetables and, but not having the coffee. So for like 4 days I had a headache every morning.
Mm.
I knew it was going to happen. It wasn't.
Do you typically drink milk in your coffee or what do you put in it?
Nope. I do some coconut milk or coconut milk creamer.
Yep.
A little bit of that.
Yep. I love coconut milk.
And so it was like, yeah, 4 days of headaches. And then like day five or six, I'm like, okay, I don't have a headache. I'm feeling better. I didn't feel different like the first week. And I even texted Kelly. I was like, should I be feeling different? Because I don't. And she's like, nope, the first week, most of my clients don't really notice a change. And then it was like that Sunday, last Sunday was the first day where I'm like, oh, like 6 a.m, wide awake. I don't feel like I need coffee. I don't have a headache. I'm like, oh, I feel great. Like I can't remember the last time I woke up in the morning and just felt alert and awake and ready for the day. I'm like, whoa. Oh, maybe this is different. And like this whole week, it's like slowly, I don't miss the caffeine. I do feel way more like just like clear headed, like more alert, awake, just better. I mean, it's certainly, I feel like I've probably lost a few pounds, which that's not why I'm doing it at all. But I definitely,
what a nice side effect.
It's, yeah. And so I mean, I miss coffee so much. It's the only thing. I mean, the alcohol has been hard, but mainly for the social aspect.
I know. You said you had stayed home.
Yeah.
Because you were just like needed to get through this.
Yeah. So the last two weekends, I have not made plans. I've just hung out at home, done stuff around the house. I've met a few people, went to my nephew's baseball games, brought my protein shake with me. And it's just been easier because it's so hard, like in a social gathering or at a Twins game or something. Like, of course, I want to have a beer with you. And, mm-hmm. you know, I want to go out and have a bite to eat. And so, but the coffee has been the hardest thing for me. And not, like, I don't even miss the caffeine. But the ritual of, I love getting up in the morning and having my coffee. I love the smell of it, the taste.
Yeah.
Like, even the social, like, let's meet up for coffee. Like, a friend texted me, hey, you know, Laura and I are meeting for coffee. Do you want to join us? I'm like, oh, I could only have water. No, right. Thanks. And she's like, oh, we could do something else. I'm like, nope, I can't even do it. You know, I'm like,
that takes a lot of self-discipline. That's impressive.
It was hard. I'm like, oh, let's see, go meet up with my two good friends or sit home. Like, I'm going to sit home because I have to, you know, I'm like, I mean, tomorrow morning I will be having some coffee. I'm going to have decaf and I'm hoping that I can kind of stick to the decaf and only have caffeinated when I really need a little pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes, but it's been great. I love it. And I feel like it'll be something that maybe I'll do like probably once or twice a year just as a
we're gonna reset.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like I'm hoping that it'll help my body kind of fight off toxins just going forward. Like, I mean, I don't know if I had a bunch of stuff built up or what, but if I did, I would assume that this kind of cleaned me out, because you take a bunch of pills that clean your organs out and stuff. I don't know exactly what they do, but
yeah,
that's good. But I feel fantastic. So
I feel like the, you know, when I'm listening to you tell the story of this, I feel like the stuffiness is something that I didn't realize might have been something, you know, mm-hmm. like related, and that's something I would probably benefit from, mm-hmm. from, you know, because I struggle with sinus stuff and anyway. And so I feel like that just compounds, and maybe that's why I'm struggling with sinus stuff, is that I have eliminated wheat mm-hmm. of all kinds, including beer, which is really, was like a mourning period. I think I mourned longer over beer than my dad's dad when he died. Like, honest to God, it's such a social, like, I just want a beer. I want to mow the lawn. I want to have a beer. I want to meet up and have like a beer at like 4 when you get that like unbelievable buzz. Like, that's what I want. I want that feeling. And I have been able to figure it out, but I did mourn it. And RIP grandpa, but you know, it's like, it was a big deal, but it just made me feel so awful. Like, and I had the same thing with beer that happens, where I am immediately feel like someone shoved 2 bumblebees and a bouquet of flowers up my face.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is just like this.
That is a perfect description.
It's like the place between my eyes and my nose is like there's a football being inflated in there, is what, when I drink beer. And so, and you know, it's a sensitivity or an allergy. And I think it's really a scale, right? It's like a sensitivity is more like mild sensitivity, and an allergy is like the full blown, if mm-hmm. you were to put those on a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed over the years that like I have a strong sensitivity or something to nightshade vegetables, which are onions and peppers and tomatoes. And I can eat them to a certain point. But then I hit a point and I'm wrecked for like a day. It's like a hangover. And nightshades are, those are all in one category.
Oh.
So there's a type of vegetable that, you know, you would classify as that. Just like you would classify like broccoli and something as like cruciferous.
Yeah.
Right?
I love it. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. So if I have like, I can have like, I make my lasagna with like, a cream sauce and a tomato sauce and spinach to add moisture, because spinach has so much moisture in it. Mm-hmm. So I don't do another layer of sauce, but I just add a thick, like an inch layer of spinach. And that provides so much moisture, just like a sauce would. And then I can eat lasagna. But I know, doesn't it sound great? And mm-hmm. then, so I kind of adapt it. But if I were to eat like spaghetti, which I eat like quinoa spaghetti now because I don't eat any wheat, but I put sauce on it. If I have a second serving of sauce, I am so wrecked. Like, I get like just the worst gas. And like, if I have onions are the worst. So onions are on the, if you were to do like a lactose to nightshades, onions are my cow's milk. And I also have lactose stuff, but the fattier the dairy product, the less hard time I have. Mm. So skim milk is the absolute worst for a lactose intolerant person, because there's no fat to eat the lactose. So that's why most people can eat like ice cream, but not ice milk. Mm. Ice milk just goes right through me. I might as well take 4, what's the thing that makes you poop? The pill.
Laxatives.
Ice milk, like Dairy Queen, is a laxative. If I need to poop, I go get a Blizzard. So, yeah.
Dairy Queen should maybe use that as their next marketing.
They could, like, for dieters.
Yeah.
So I eat, if I have too many onions, I mean, it feels like my skin is on fire. Mm-hmm. There is poison, like, under my skin. That's how bad onions affect me. And, like, when you're whatever, little, people are like, okay, you don't like onions, you know? And you're just like, no, it actually makes me feel awful. And what I am grateful for is that we know so much more about food than we ever have.
Oh, absolutely.
And you're able to like sort things out by like, oh, so if I eat too many, I can eat red and yellow peppers, cups and cups of them. Green peppers just kill me. Same as onions. Really similar to onions. Mm-hmm. Just terrible indigestion. And I also get a hangover. So it's not just the indigestion. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, I don't want that feeling. I don't have time for the hangover.
Yeah.
So then you just start, you know, you kind of avoid those things, even though things look good, you kind of adapt to it and whatever. But so no, so I don't eat any wheat. I don't eat any bread. I've adapted to that. I've done that for almost 2 solid years. And like I eat the occasional thing, like every once in a while. But I order Eggs Benedict. I just have them bring it out on mm-hmm. hash browns. Or, you know, I've adapted all those things. And typically people offer breakfast tacos with like corn, which I found that too much corn isn't great. You know, I don't process corn well. And that's one of the reasons chicken can be hard because chickens eat corn.
Yeah.
Most of conventional chickens. So, and you think about, I was just watching that Netflix show, The Chef's Table. And there was a guy who specifically focuses on what does the stuff you eat?
Yeah.
And I was like, holy crap. I have never asked or thought about that question.
Yeah, was that the second episode?
I think so.
Oh. Obsessed with that show.
And so if you do eat, if you are a carnivore, like what is the stuff? And even if you're not, if you're eating only vegetables, like what nutrients are surrounding your vegetables? What are your vegetables consuming before you consume them? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is just, for whatever reason, really resonated with me. And so eliminating the hardest part about, I do miss beer, and I also miss like biting into a hamburger with a bun. Mm. On it, even though, you know, I have found I get to eat more when I don't eat the bun, which is really great.
Yeah.
So I get to eat more of whatever else there is. And I like to eat a lot. I like things in abundance.
Me too.
Throughout yep. disciplines, yep. not just food. So I think that that's good. But, and gluten-free buns are total shit. Like no one has figured out how to make a delicious gluten-free bun yet. And I'd rather not replace. I'd rather just omit.
Yeah, I'd rather have no bun than a bad bun.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And I totally judge everywhere by their buns.
Yeah.
Right? Like if the bread isn't good, I doubt the food's going to be good. And now I don't eat the bread, so I have a different baseline. But
yeah, I don't. Gluten was one of the things, I think it was like a one on my list. So it's like, oh, you can have it, but like every couple of days. But luckily for me, I've never really been a big bread pasta kind of person. That's just never. I feel like pasta, bread, and rice are just carriers for the good stuff. Why would I fill up on that? It's like,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's just not. Yeah.
Yeah. I always leave like the layer. If I get like a burrito bowl or, you know, something, I always leave like a thick layer of rice. A thick layer of rice at the bottom. So, what have you seen results? I know you said you saw like a, like you could like visibly see one of your leg muscles that you haven't been able to before.
Oh,
do you think that's a result?
I don't think that that's related to the detox at all.
Okay.
I think that's just been the last year of working with a trainer and just changing my diet, doing way more weightlifting, kind of like how Jen in the last year, her whole CrossFit journey. Like I feel like I've been kind of mirroring that with what I've been doing with my trainer at the gym. And a lot of the stuff we do is CrossFit and just kind of learning the importance of weightlifting and weight training. You know, like I've always been active and stuff, but when I have gone to the gym by myself, it's a lot of, I'm intimidated by the big weights at the gym. And so I would just hang out on the treadmill, like Jen had said before, or do a few little things, but I really don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, I play a lot of tennis and all that, but that's much more cardio and not strength training.
Right. And I love moving my, like using my body weight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, as a weight, mm-hmm. like that, that's a, I don't know why. It's just a very, very satisfying.
Yeah. And effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I think it's just been that and just a lot of.
You just happened to notice
and it. I just was like, whoa, I've never seen that muscle before. Oh, my goodness. Is that real? Like, I'm like, I feel like I want to take a picture and show my trainer and be like, is that my muscle? Like, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that's it. I'm like, wow, it's exciting.
It's sort of like nice when you see your body every day. So when, like, I look in the mirror and I notice something is more slender or a little tighter, then I second guess it all the time. But you know what you should do? You should just go with that. Be like, own it. Be like, that is more slender and not question it at all. Because I feel like you, even though you do see it every day, you know it better than anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, obviously, I'm like, I know that that's my quad muscle, but I just had never seen it. It was always covered with much more fat. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I know that's it, but I just was in such shock. Like, oh, mm-hmm. It's working.
Nice.
So,
well, yeah. Good. Well, speaking of, I know you said, you know, you play tennis a lot and you play every Tuesday.
And most Mondays now too.
Oh, wow. So, yes. And you've done that for years. And are you still in isn't there like a rating system or organization you're a part of?
Yeah, well, there's two. So like on Monday, it's the USTA League, which is the United States Tennis Association.
Right, that was what I was thinking of.
And yeah, I've played USTA for almost since high school. But then Tuesday night, it's a Lifetime League. And I've been doing that since I moved back from Kansas City. So what, like 3 years, I think?
Nice.
Yeah, and I actually like it better. We have a coach. And so it's every other week we have practice and then we have a match. And it's like being back in high school again with a coach and practice and your teammates, and it's more social and fun. And you actually get time to work on things instead of, you know, in the USTA League, it's just matches, which are great. But, you know,
there's an idea that you're established enough where you don't need to like work on specific skills or.
Well, there's just not. I mean, I know some teams have a coach and they'll practice with USTA, but it's not as organized and structured that way as like the Lifetime League is. And when I moved back, I started playing with a new partner, Jency, who is obsessed and is as in love with tennis as I am. So we've done a ton of extra drills and lessons with our coaches and done tournaments. And it's just been so much fun. And having her as a partner has been fantastic.
That and like, just sort as of a new champion friend. Idea in athletics at all. That's sort of like having a champion or a match, like someone who... Yeah. Roots you along is just, it's like something I missed. I didn't realize that was a thing and how important it was.
Yeah.
To have somebody that just is like, you got this or, whoa, look at your squat or whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us too, we definitely, I feel like we balance each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just great and super encouraging to each other. And it's been fun and I love it. Yeah.
So you've been waking up in the morning, you said, to watch Wimbledon.
Yeah.
So what day are we on?
So, I don't even know exactly what day. I think it started on maybe the 29th.
Okay.
I think last Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously I'm a big tennis fan. I've been to the US Open, but Wimbledon has just always been my favorite. I love the tradition of it and the whole Wimbledon whites and the royal family. I mean, I love all things British anyway. I have family over there, so I've been over a few times. And the last time, unfortunately, it wasn't during Wimbledon, but we did, my friend and I did go stop and kind of walked around. It was closed, so we couldn't take a tour, but went in the gift shop and we were able to see some stuff. And it was just really cool being there. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go some year. And then this year, finally, the light bulb went off because I don't really like the 4th of July, mainly because I do not like fireworks. I'm fine with a city doing their organized display on the 4th of July at 10 o'clock at night. Beautiful, to music, whatever. Great.
You are not alone. I've seen that sentiment over and over this week.
But my next door neighbors for 2 weeks setting off fireworks at random times of the night. And I'm like, I'm probably going to go outside. My garage is going to have burned down last night. I mean, the noise, and I just don't like anything about it. So finally this year, I'm like, well, actually last year, my friend Renee, who shares the same feeling about fireworks in the 4th of July, we had joked like, that's it. Next year, we're leaving the country. You know, we're like, oh, let's go to Canada, whatever. And so we didn't do that this year. But as I was watching Wimbledon this year, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm going to Wimbledon next year for 4th of July. Why haven't I thought of this sooner? Like, duh.
Perfect.
Like, I'll go the end of June, and I have family over there, so I've been a few times, and I'm like, I'll go stay with them. They don't live far from Wimbledon. Go watch Wimbledon.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I've always wanted to. I'm like, I don't know why it's taken me this long to put the pieces together.
To put it together.
Yeah.
I love it.
I just, yeah. Perfect. So I'm super, super excited. So
is there good coverage on the networks here, or do you have to, like, seek it out via cable?
Well, I've been watching it on, I think, ESPN2. I know it's on ESPN3, but I don't think I have that. Or maybe it's the tennis channel.
Okay.
But on the weekends and then the finals, it's on regular network television.
Nice.
But yeah, I've been watching on
sports channels. Who are the players right now? I don't even know that I'd recognize names. Like, well, the top players or your favorites?
Like, well, I mean, I love an underdog. I love, like, cheering for the new up-and-coming people. And, like, Wimbledon, I love when the British people are winning, and it's super exciting. And I love Andy Murray is one of the guys that he's British.
Yeah. Oh.
And he won, I don't know if it was last year or the year before. And so it was first time, and it was a big deal. And so now he has less pressure on him now that he...
His first Wimbledon?
Has already won it. Yeah.
He won?
Yeah. It was exciting. So yeah, I mean, Roger Federer's still in
playing.
It. And Novak Djokovic. Nadal lost, which I'm not a big Nadal fan, so I wasn't really heartbroken. I like John Isner. He's an American, but he lost, so he's out of it. I don't even know if there are any American men left in the draw. But women, Serena and Venus are still in it. There's a new young up-and-coming girl, Madison Keys, and she's being coached by Lindsay Davenport.
Wow.
Who was an ex-player. So
yeah,
I'm excited about her. She's been doing good. Last year's winner, Kvitova, I'm pretty sure she won last year. She's out. She lost yesterday. So yeah, I mean, there's a big talk about Serena doing what they call a Serena slam. So there's like, the slam is if you win all four of the majors, the French, the Australian, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open in the same year.
Right.
But then there's also, I don't know what they call it, a different kind of slam is if it's not in the same calendar year, but it's consecutive.
Got it.
And so she's on track because she won the French and Australian to keep winning. And
wow.
So it's like every interview, they're all talking about it, but she still has to win, what, three more matches and win Wimbledon, plus win seven matches at the U.S. Open to win it. And so finally in her last interview, she's like, this is the last time I'm talking about it. And
good,
I even saw
her.
An interview where they asked Roger Federer about it. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, you guys, you're even asking me about it. Like, I don't blame her for shutting you guys down. So,
yeah. Well, I like the idea of like taking that back, taking the power back and, you know, just saying to people like, you're not in charge of this.
Yeah.
And neither am I.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, let me just focus one match at a time.
Right. Like the athleticism that she shows is unparalleled, and that it should be like celebrated just for itself.
Yeah. She is unbelievable. Like one of the matches I watched a couple of days ago, she was playing a British girl, Heather Watson, and they had split the first two sets. And Serena was down 0-3 in the third. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this Heather Watson's going to totally pull it off. She's going to upset Serena. And then I had to leave to go do something. And so I was just following on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Serena pulled it out and won. And I'm like, she is just, I mean, like so mentally strong. Like she, and that, I mean, that's probably my biggest weakness in my game. Once I get down or I get frustrated, it's just downhill. It's a spiral. And I'm like, I could learn a lot from her and how she is able to just will herself back and to win. Like,
that's
and at
insane.
The French, she was had the flu. And it was kind of the same thing. I didn't watch it, but it was the same thing. She was like down by a lot and was like yelling at herself, like screaming at herself to like, you know, kind of cheering herself through it and pulled it off and won. And yeah.
Craziness.
Yep.
We were talking about that on our hike earlier, how so much of it is in your brain.
Yes.
And how if you can talk yourself into it, you could seriously do anything. And how that is not BS.
Oh yeah.
And people are like, oh, just get your brain or think about it or tell yourself you can do it. And you hear that a lot. And I feel like there's some sort of, you know, something's lost there. Something says lost in translation. We've heard it too much. Like,
mind over matter.
Say it differently.
It's
right.
True.
Because I told you about this earlier, but I had a breakthrough moment a couple of months ago where I was on a walk somewhere and I felt like it was like right after winter and like I had a kind of a rough winter. I had a lot of pain in my like ear and back and stuff, and I'm sorting that out. It's much better now, but I was struggling with it when we went to Nashville still. It had sort of resurfaced after a while of being a lot better. And it all started with that sinus infection I had, like, I don't even know, November? Crazy. Like, it's been a while. And so doing so much better, but really was largely inactive this winter and was struggling up a hill or something. And I honestly don't even remember when it was now, but what I do remember and what is important is that I had this moment, like this voice came into my head, or maybe it was my own voice, I'm not sure, but it just said, you're in control of your own breath. And that how I associate like getting out of breath with like stopping, or because it's a little humiliating to be out of breath, especially if other people aren't. And so this voice came into my head, and like just thinking about, you know, it really being mind over matter. And in that moment, I wasn't of my mind to have the thought myself. So whatever came in and said, hey, you're in control of your own breath. And it was just like this, I had never said that to myself or out loud or anywhere or read it or anything. But for whatever reason, that was the thing that made the difference, that I can stop at whatever time I need to. I can slow down if I need to. I could take a deeper breath to kind of get on top of it, you know, if I needed to. And it was like revolutionary.
Yeah.
And who knows why it came at that moment, but I did need it.
Yep.
And so that's been, and you followed up and said, you know, Pilates teaches you so much about.
Yeah.
And yoga does too, but yeah, for whatever reason, I just got that at that point. It was perfect. Perfectly timed.
That's
and ever
great.
Since then, have been on that thing, like, just stop when you need to. Take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying with your lifting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, she's definitely one of the greatest athletes of all time. Like, not just our lifetime, but ever. Serena.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch her.
It's been a cool, I think it's been a cool couple of years for women in sports too.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you know, we're recording on the day that the women will play in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Against Japan. So we'll see how that goes later.
Yeah.
But it has been cool to just see them use their feet and be like, yeah, you're not really doing much, O'Reilly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, get on your chest and your head game. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been cool. We're going to switch gears a little bit and talk about cars. Briefly, I posted, you know, I didn't realize how long ago it was, but I had I have a 12-year-old car or so, and it's served me really well. It's been paid off for 5 years. It runs regularly and without, you know, a lot of drama. And the other day, but now I realize it was 6 months ago, my oil light came on while I was driving the boys home. And I'm particularly sensitive when the boys are in the car, that I want to make sure that everything is fine and nobody is scared, or, you know, that I also can just get them from point A to point B. So I posted about, you know, my financial planner at some point had told me that I might be a good candidate for leasing because I don't really care to broaden my base about knowledge of fixing cars. You know, like,
me either.
Well, just like accepting where you are and not like trying to fight it.
Yeah.
And some people said, you know, I didn't really like leasing. It wasn't for me. But the main difference was really that if you drive a lot, it's probably not a great deal because you always have a cap on how many miles you'll go. So I did find that post on my Facebook page. It is back in January, but it had over 100 comments. And like people that I consider knowledgeable about cars chimed in, and then people told stories of like, you know, this was a nightmare for me, or it was the best thing I ever did. And it's really about each company or brand or product will have their own rules, and just making sure you read those and make sure that you're not going over that mileage limit that they set. So I think I can post to this. If I can do the embedded link, I'll post this and we'll put it in the show notes. But that was the resounding thing. It was like, if lease, make sure you're staying under the mileage requirements. And if you don't mind, if you're easy enough on cars, if you like to get a new car every few years and have something that's like got the fresh things or the Bluetooth, you know, connector or the, you know, I love the one with the foot thing. You can put your foot under and the back end opens when your hands are full of groceries. Like, I don't think a commercial has wowed me in 20 years, but I saw that and I was like, oh girl, I could use that. I always have my hands full when I approach my car. It's like, it's either like a boy, you know, even if I just have someone's hand in my hand and then a bag of groceries in the other, it would be really nice to wave your foot under and have their back end open.
Yeah, I only want to make one trip at all times. So if that means I have to carry 43 bags and balance something on my head, I'm going to try.
I remember that from college. You were so good at that. And Dina is really tall and she has long arms. And so she could like get like an entire like laundry basket under one arm and then like carry all the Target bags in. And I was just like, I felt like, you know, like the Pepe Le Pew's girlfriend who always holds like a cracker and a toothpick.
And then I would have the rest.
She's super dainty. But I'm not dainty at all. But compared to your, like, you have these like black swan arms. It's amazing. Oh. I don't know where
if I pulled
I
that
from. Only
I could fly with them.
I know. If only. Mm. So check that post out if you're thinking. But I and you said you told me a story I didn't know yesterday about how you got your current car.
Well, I remember when you posted about that, I was so excited. So I kept going back and looking for updates to see what people were writing because I desperately want a different vehicle. I struggled because I'm like, I don't need one. It runs fine. It's a 2006, I think, Jeep Liberty. And there's nothing wrong with it mechanically. I don't like it at all. A lot of things. Partly because when I bought it, I was living in Kansas City. I'd moved there for a job and I had a work vehicle. And I had quit my job and was moving back home. And through all of that, kind of forgot that I needed a car, that I was going to have to turn this truck in. And would need something to drive. Okay. And so I still have my old Saab convertible that's in the garage that needs work and stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. But that it hadn't been running. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. I need a reliable vehicle. And for winters in Minnesota, I want an SUV. So I went to a car dealership and was like, hey, I want to get a smaller SUV. I want it used with about this many miles on it. This is about what I want to pay. So they're like, okay. So I test drove three different vehicles. Oh, a Honda...
CRV?
Nope. Pilot.
Pilot.
It was a Honda Pilot, Chevy Trailblazer, and this Jeep Liberty. And I, like, just based on looking at them, I'm like, oh, I'm totally getting this Honda Pilot. Done. Well, then I drove them all. I'm like, I hate this thing.
Wow.
Like, I was shocked. So I'm like, oh, I just loved...
It's a lot about feel.
Yeah, it's just the way it rode, everything, like sitting in it, how high up I was. And I'd had a Jeep Wrangler years ago. So I'm like, okay, I like that Jeep. So
that
anyway.
That is a whole nother episode's worth of talking, that Jeep Wrangler. We had some seriously good times in that.
We sure did.
I have people that I've met twice tell me stories about that, like being in that vehicle or riding on the back. Right. And like people on Twitter will be like, do you remember when we hung out that time? And we were in Dana's Jeep Wrangler. Sometimes people think it was mine. Anyway, I digress. It's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was like, okay, I'll take this Jeep Liberty, and I'll be back in a couple hours to pick it up. So I went back to my old company and turned in my truck, and then a friend drove me and picked up this car. I'm like, that. And I mean, I was happy with it right away. Like, oh, fun, new vehicle, whatever. And then the more I was driving it, I'm like, this is not what I wanted. It is too small. It's just not.
Yeah.
I don't want a red vehicle. There's just
lots of
so many things about it that I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to. And it's funny because this wasn't a thing for me before. But I really want to set up higher. I had a lease vehicle that, was like a, you know, when I got my car fixed, I had like a small SUV that they gave me, mm-hmm. like a, whatever they call those, loaners. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I had no idea how much I loved it, but I'm tall and it is just really nice to get in and out without having to, you know, it's just like, you kind of just slide out instead of like
doing a squat.
It feels funny because I'm good at squats, but it's just I just really loved it. So I'm definitely looking for that next. But I think I'm just gonna have to start. I should just start test driving, like, kind of casually.
That I feel like we need to do it together because I feel like I want to really do my due diligence here, because after this experience, I'm like, that I learned my lesson. You know, you can't just go pop in and buy a car in 15 minutes. I mean, you can, but then you're miserable and not happy with it.
Right. But I do everything like that, a lot like that. Like, I just, the opposite of that, where I just like, I kind of know something big is coming. And so I'm just aware of it. And then I sort of like take steps to fulfill what I need to do before that time comes, instead of doing all at once. Like, I'm really bad at doing stuff all at once because it makes me want to quit and like, just start biking everywhere, which isn't a bad idea, but with kids, mm-hmm. I can't really do that, or a commute, you know, with clients and running a business. But I do love the, I have a station wagon now, and I do love the back, you know, kind of like area yeah. for, you know, loading stuff in when I need to. And I, you know, I've had this car for 12 years. It's been paid off for 5. So I really love, you know, mm-hmm. I have plenty of, and I think I'd still be able to trade it in for some. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's really about just choosing, like, you know, which one do you want? I kind of don't, I own a home now, so I don't really care that much about owning a car. And I don't know.
Yeah. And I had always liked the idea of leasing, but just didn't want to do something stupid or make a, like, if it financially did not make sense. Like,
right.
And just the more and more I'm learning about people that are leasing that I totally respect and trust them. Like,
right.
They make really good decisions financially and otherwise that, like, okay, well, if they are leasing and they're leasing, then I think leasing might be the way to go.
My and, life looks like hers or.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like yeah. I have a list of SUVs that I want. Like, I need a bigger SUV. Although I don't have children, I do have, my brother has 4 kids and I have them a lot. And as they're getting older, like if I have to help bring 2 kids to hockey, like them and their stuff, like my back does not have a ton of room to just take all 3 of them to my house. 4 of them. I was thinking 3 in the back. It's like the 3 of them in the back seat. It's getting crowded. Like they,
right.
It's just not, I need more room, not just for me and my stuff, but for right. when I have them and.
Yeah. It should rise just, up to meet you.
Yeah.
And meet your needs for sure.
Yeah. Well, we need to plan that.
Let's do that. And let's also, if you have tips and stories, we'd love it if you shared them with us on the XOXO JK Facebook page. Hey, do you want to do a Tweets of the Week?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, mine was from Elon Gale, who I don't even know exactly what he does. He's like a production behind the scenes guy for The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
And he has a Twitter account?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
The I year love of that kind of back. Elon.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Perspective.
And anyway, so he tweeted, you can post firework pictures from any year. No one will know or care. And I just, I mean, I couldn't have liked that more. I felt like the last 2 days, my Facebook feed was only firework photos or videos. Everyone's looked the same.
Right.
And I mean, really, was it
and
this
fireworks
year?
Don't it? Photograph well.
No, they're all terrible. And I mean, I'm just not that into fireworks, okay?
Yeah.
Not sure if that's been clear or not. But.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Single, but not into fireworks.
Yep.
So mine's from my pal Janie Winterbauer, who is at Winterbowser on Twitter. And it's making my kids pizza rolls and microwave burritos for lunch because summer. And I like her. And we have a lot of like super similar parenting. Like, you know what I mean? A lot mm-hmm. of stuff matters, but some of it just doesn't. And like, those are memories. You're making memories by feeding your kids pizza rolls for lunch in the summer. You're making memories.
Yes.
I like it. So I like her take on stuff, and she capitalized summer, but nothing else. And I liked that too. It was awesome. Well, this was fun.
It was super fun.
Are
Thank
you feeling
you
better?
So much.
About how we put it all together and maybe you come back and co-host again?
Yeah, this was great.
Good.
I had a blast. I'm honored to get to be a guest host.
So thanks for joining us today. You're the best.
This is Dana. You can find me on Twitter at Dana Myos. That's DaynaMyos. You can also find me on, you know, Tinder, Match.com, OkCupid. Basically, if there's an online dating site, I'm out there somewhere.
She's a professional.
Yeah. I don't know if you're a professional, if that's good or bad or...
I don't know. I always
say
it like...
I'm still all on there, I'm probably not that good at it.
I love it.
I'm not sure.
And this is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at cleverkate. You can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes. XOXO
JK.